once again, we are starting a brand new era for Sweep the League. This is the Fantasy Countdown, not the Final Countdown by Europe. The Fantasy Countdown. Rudy Campos Jr., Coach Gio, special guest, and probably going to be our guest each and every week here on the Fantasy Countdown, as well as another show debuting today as well, 4th and 40. That'll be our regular football show. Austin Hartsfield, the MLB legend himself, Austin Hartsfield. Austin, you feeling excited about football, man, as much as you are about MLB?
I'm as excited about football as I am about y'all hyping me up every time I come on.
Dude, we have to hype you up.
I feel like a champ.
You're a pro, man. You're like the Dalai Lama, man. You're the Dalai Lama here.
You were on radio, and now I'm on radio. We got to get Gio on the radio somewhere. Anybody in Chicago, you know, you got to get Gio on the radio. This guy is good too. I mean, of anything, Austin's the celebrity of the group here, so we have to have him. We can have some clout doing all this stuff. But it is the Fantasy Countdown. Like I said, Rudy Campos Jr., Gio, Austin. Of course, we have the man behind the glass, Chris Galler, always joining us here. Fantasy Countdown. Basically, it is what it is. It's fantasy football talk. We'll probably get into some, you know, maybe fantasy baseball talk once we get some stuff in as well. Fantasy basketball, NHL, the playoffs have been remarkable. So we'll be doing daily fantasy. We'll be giving you our rankings each and every week. Today, we're just going to kind of kick this off and say, let's get into some top quarterbacks, which we will hear in a minute. We're also going to get into the top fantasy tight ends, top fantasy defenses as well. Next week, we'll hit up top wide receivers and running backs. And that's what we're going to do each and every week. Give you our top 10 or 15 so players at each position, who you want to play in daily fantasy and who you want to play in your leagues as well. I've got a bunch of drafts coming up. Gio's probably got a bunch of drafts coming up. We're going to try to squeeze Austin in to get some drafts as well. The man behind the glass, Chris Galler, has drafts too. So let's get right to it, man. I mean, we're going to jump in real quick here on the fantasy countdown. We're going to get into the meat right here. Top fantasy quarterbacks. Let's go to the top, 10 fantasy quarterbacks right now. And as we can see, now this list is, I put this list together and Gio gave me a really hard time about this list. All because Jared Goff is probably like 10 slides away and we all know why. But obviously for where I've got it looking at, Lamar Jackson, you know, you've got a dual, let's say Michael Vick type player right there. Passing wise, I believe he's a way better passer than Michael Vick is. Running wise, I mean, he's just as quick. You've got the dual threat right there. That's who I had number one for your top fantasy quarterbacks going into this fantasy season. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, I mean, number two for obvious reasons.
Number two?
I've got him at number two. Now, the surprise where Gio kind of got taken back was Dak Prescott. I've got him ranked a lot higher this season. You
because
had
you live
so
in
many
Texas, weapons. Rudy. Just admit it. You live in Texas and you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, it's not a Texas thing. You've got Dak Prescott because of his weapons. You know, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, even Michael Gallup. You have Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, the only real question in that whole offense to me is Blake Jarwin at tight end. That's it. And that's not even a horrible person. So if the line is able to protect Dak given time, I mean, he's going to be a top three fantasy quarterback. Those are the first two that I've got. Let me go first to Gio. Gio, give us on the top 10, give us who you're liking going into the fantasy season.
Well, Rudy, you know, your quarterback list isn't way off mark. So I don't want the people to think that I'm just clowning you because you have Prescott in there and you live in Texas.
No.
Patrick Mahomes is number one. I mean, he's coming back from a Super Bowl. That offense is going to be good again. And they got another running back coming in, which I think might be a kind of the sexy pick going on. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, number two. Russell Wilson, number three. Deshaun Watson, number four. You know, Kyler Murray is one of those picks that I think he's going to have a good season. Still kind of figure out what that offense is going to look like this season. But Kyler Murray, December five. And then...
Yeah, I've got Murray at six on this list.
I have Murray at five. Josh Allen at six, and you know, Matt Ryan, his quarterback is out. I'm going to put Matt Ryan at number seven. And number eight, I'm going with Drew Brees. Number nine, you know what? Number nine, I'm going to go, I'm going to shock you, Rudy. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill.
That's a bold move, but I can see why.
I think it's a little bit of a bold move. I like the way he ended last season. They got some young receivers here. The running game is obviously the key thing. And at number 10, all right, whatever, Tom Brady.
The eyes of Gio be rolling this morning for sure. Austin, you know, we've got this top 10 right here. Again, this is, you know, we all have different top 10. This is the top 10 quarterbacks I've got
and
going.
If you notice, Rudy, hold up. I left out Drew Brees.
But see, Drew just has Michael Thomas, and I've got him at nine because Michael Thomas is one catching mofo. But I mean, I really considered throwing Brees out of the top 10, you know. But hey, Austin, you know, we've got our top 10 here. I know you probably have differences and opinions for the top 10. What are you looking at? I mean, give me a couple of quarterbacks you see out of this top 10 that you feel might be good, or somebody that's not in the top 10 that you feel that might be, you know, a top 10 quarterback come the end of the season.
I mean, I'm more thinking about this Drew Brees comment and this Drew Brees disrespect that's going on right now.
Dude, that guy is falling off a cliff. He throws one guy 100 times a year, and everybody
only
says
has Michael Thomas. Let's ignore the fact that Emmanuel Sanders is there and Alvin Kamara is there.
Eventually, Drew Brees is going to fall off eventually. And he has a little bit the past few years.
We keep saying that about a 43-year-old quarterback in Tampa, but that still hasn't happened. So, I mean, I don't agree with Gio in the fact that Drew Brees is off of his list. That is absolutely just ridiculous.
I got the, some big balls here to really push the limit here and say Ryan Tannehill, which, by the way, won me three fantasy championships last year as my starting quarterback. I think he's going to have a good year.
How'd you do in the sweep the league fantasy?
It's going to be pretty awesome when he throws the ball 17 times.
Sweep the league? Pretty gimmick leagues? Like, oh, you can have one quarterback one half, another quarterback the second half. All these types of weird stipulations. I just didn't do very well. And I was also
in the easiest job in the world. Just turn around and hand the ball to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the Titans' offense.
And this is a comment that I wanted to make later. Right, but since we're on the whole Tannehill thing, basically what Vrabel runs is an Alabama offense. Like he has a game manager at quarterback. The difference is he has mobility in Tannehill, but then you just give Derrick Henry his carries. And
you know
just
what?
Watch him just mow people over.
He has a pretty good wide receiver, and he's pretty efficient in the red zone. He's pretty efficient in the red zone. Last season, I know he came out of literally Rudy's house, but you know, essentially came out of nowhere, but he was really efficient last year and played very well down the stretch. So I have a little bit of a secret pick. Everybody else wants to do consensus and that's fine, but yeah, I'm going against the grain.
If Deshaun Watson had DeAndre Hopkins, I think that he would be higher on this list, but considering the fact that Bill O'Brien's an idiot and also a genius at the same time, from my perspective, he is exactly where he should be. Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, I think you can kind of flip-flop. You can go back and forth on that one. It depends, you know, what we're getting out of the receiving corps, which Dak's receiving corps is a lot better, but Russell Wilson's a much better quarterback, much better playmaker. And then just the nature of fantasy football gives Lamar Jackson the edge over Patrick Mahomes. The interesting one for me is the two – We have a mobile one and we have a semi-mobile one, and Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. You know, where do those guys fit in? Because if Josh Allen can figure it out, Buffalo could be so much fun, especially with Stephon Diggs now.
Yeah, and apparently Gio doesn't like the whole Stephon Diggs in Buffalo with Josh Allen connection. He made that kind of obvious on Twitter this week, for sure. But hey, real quick, you can follow us on Twitter. It's mine is at Sweep the League. Gio, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Coach Gio with two O's. And yes, I accidentally deleted my Twitter. So
yeah, so go follow at Coach Gio with the O, another O at the end. Austin, give away your Twitter handle real quick.
@HartsfieldPC.
At Hartsfield PC. And hey, before we get into the next set of quarterbacks, just an FYI, here at the Fantasy Countdown, we will be launching a fantasy, a fantasy football league for all you guys out there. It's free to join. We're only going to allow 7 listeners to join. We'll put the details out there. Myself, the man behind the glass, Coach Gio, we're all going to be involved in it. You're going to be playing against us here at the Fantasy Countdown. Good luck to you guys if you do compete. We play ruthless and rough. If Austin wants to join it, we can throw Austin in there. You can play with us here at the Fantasy Countdown. Like I said, those details will be coming out here very, very soon. Yeah, I mean, top 10 quarterbacks, you know, just real quick off of me, the one person I do like off this list is Deshaun Watson, and we'll get into that later when we get into our other the football show, 4th and 40, when we talk about the Texans. I think the trade of DeAndre Hopkins is, I've made the case, it's a beneficial trade for Houston. It's a good move by them, and I get so much flack for it, but this makes Deshaun Watson a better QB. In my opinion, but we'll get into QB, that more.
A better QB that doesn't have a number one guy. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. That's just
no. Gotcha. I mean, you got DeAndre Hopkins gone, but I understand Randall Cobb is not anywhere near where he's supposed to be, you know, when he was back in Green Bay. But you've got if Will Fuller stays healthy, and then you've got Brandon Cooks coming in, who's not bad. I mean, he can spread the ball around. Look at a guy like Russell Wilson. I mean, he's never really had elite, and I can't really say Tyler Lockett is elite when it comes to
Baldwin
wide receivers.
Baldwin was the closest thing ever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but Rudy, but you Russell know Wilson, that Will Fuller and Cooks are injury prone. I mean,
yes,
Cooks.
I'm gonna cover that when we get to the Texans because I have a feel.
Barring injury, Deshaun Watson, I think barring injury, could be top
MVP
3
candidate.
And the quarterback. But anyway, let's go to the second round, the second list over here, 11 through 20. Here we see more names, you know, Carson Wentz, Stafford, Aaron Rodgers makes it here. Joe Burrow, number one pick from Cincinnati, makes it onto the top 20. He's getting guys like A.J. Green back, who from what I'm seeing in the Cincinnati camp is A.J. is looking really, really good this season. We see that every single year AJ. Then he has an ankle injury. But, you know, I'm loving what Joe Burrow's got. He also got, Tyler Boyd. He's got Joe Mixon. He's got weapons around him. Geo's boy, Ryan Tannehill, is at number 19 on this list, which he was number 9, I believe, on Geo's list. So that was a huge jump. Then we see the return of Big Ben Roethlisberger. That made a huge difference for the Steelers. I'm going to go to Austin real quick. Austin, on this list right here, what couple of guys stand out to you for this one?
Well, one of the guys that stands out to me is obviously somebody who's thrown for so many yards over his career. The fact that we had to get to 13 to get to Aaron Rodgers is kind of crazy. But if you go back through and you kind of go through the list, I mean, outside of Stafford and, you know, maybe a healthy Wentz, I agree. You know, it's just crazy to me that it took this long to get to him. I don't know that I would have somebody like a Daniel Jones that high, just on personal preference. Like, I know
Rudy's doing. He's doing that because he's trying to prove a point to me.
I don't get it. Four number one overall picks, by the way, in this group right here. So that's another thing that stands out to me. Kind of crazy. Baker Mayfield sucks. He should probably be a lot lower. And I think I would take Cam Newton on one leg over him.
Yeah, well, see, that's the Longhorn in Austin coming out.
It is.
OU sucks, apparently, and that's what I've heard. So
I didn't say anything bad about Tannehill, that wide receiver.
I mean, I guess Tannehill. I mean, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to put you on the spot because of Tannehill and Baker. As a Longhorn fan, Is it I have hatred for the Aggies more than the Sooners, or Sooners over the Aggies?
It's more like having a rival and then just fighting with your little brother, to where one is like, you kind of get enjoyment out of it, and the other one you're just like, get out of my face. Like, who are you?
I completely get that, man. Hey, Gio, Gardner Minshew makes it into the top 20 on this list.
Gardner freaking Minshew.
Okay, so
there was Gardner mania last season, and he makes it to the top 20 because he's got guys like he's got Leonard Fournette, who I'm pretty sure is going to be a top 10 running back this season. But you can't deny the fact of DJ Chark, you know, being that receiver that can turn things around for him. Is he worth getting into the top 20? And I know this is where I looked at it too, and I thought Jared Goff has that edge, but I look at the backfield, and that's where I'm thinking, okay, you've got Fournette, and Jared Goff has a Daryl Henderson right now. He's also got, you know, the draft pick that came in as well. I mean, he's got running game. He doesn't have Todd Gurley, who isn't anywhere near what he was. But I just think that edge goes to Gardner just because of the running back situation. But let me hear your thoughts on Gardner and then whoever you need to go on as well.
Gardner Minshew, again, another one of your picks that you just – want to put in there because you really are into them. No. Gardner Minshew, listen, he's a fine talent, and he's going to play well. But if you ask me, and I know people are going to say, oh, he's a Rams fan. Of course he's going to have Jared Goff. But I just think with Jared Goff, those receivers, Woods is still there. Cooper Kupp is still there. Van Jefferson has impressed the coaches. I know it's still minicamp or training camp nonetheless, but I think that offense, just the offense as a whole, Gardner Minshew is going to be in games where they run the ball like 30-40 times, right? I mean, fantasy is about points, and at the end of the day, I want to get as much points as possible, and I think Goff will get there. Rudy, I like your list. Daniel Jones, I think that's a little bit too high. I think you're really, really reaching there. And Cam Newton, do we know if he's going to be like the starter week one?
As of now, from what we're seeing, yeah. I mean, he's going to be the starter. Jared Stidham had an injury, which I think was just taking him – it took him out for the one practice. He came back the very next day. I don't see Stidham beating Newton out this season for a starter. So, I mean, Cam's definitely going to start.
I do have one thing on this whole situation right here that we're trying to avoid. What if Gardner Minshew's just, like, watered down NFL, like, insanity? And it's just, it was a flash in the pan, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that for sure. I mean, and you know, for everybody that's looking and listening, the list that's coming out right now, it's going to be provided to you on the Sweep the League page. It's going to be provided to you on Sweep the League website as well. So we'll have them on there. You can go through this list, but these are pre draft rankings that we've got. I mean, will Gardner Minshew finish in the top 20? It's a good possibility. He may not. He may be top 30, you know, maybe from 25 to 30, just depending on how it goes. Where you're saying like a watered down Gardner, you know, for Gardner Minshew. I see that. It's very possible. But to me, it's like, okay, you're gonna concentrate on Fournette when it comes to that offense. You've got good receivers. I mean, you still got Westbrook. I mean, he's still there. He still has some speed. You've got some breakaway there. Chark is a big receiver. I mean, it's kind of like the offenses. And I can't disagree with Gio when he's talking about Jared Goff. I really can't. That was a tough decision. I really do understand
that. And Rudy, I actually like Baker Mayfield's, unlike Austin does. I think Baker should be a little bit higher. I think this is a year that Baker Mayfield just clicks. And they have the running game, Rudy.
Yeah.
They got two running backs there. They got receivers. And did you forget the tight end that they added, Rudy? Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
This offense, if Baker Mayfield does not show up this year, it's S-9, S-12, S-20, in the words of Stephen A. Smith. It's ridiculous. But I think this is the year. It's just too much freaking talent on this offense for this guy to be throwing to Ghost and just being in cloud nine. I think Baker potentially could be a top 10 play this year.
I hate using the same like analogies over and over again, but do you remember the off season? I said the same thing about the same team last year. Do you remember the off season when the Eagles put together the dream team and everybody was like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. This is perfect. This is going to be awesome. This is awesome on paper. It's the greatest team on paper we've ever seen. They sucked. And that's last year's Browns were.
No, and I completely agree. And I was not on the bandwagon. I said they would not make the playoffs. I said they would make the playoffs this year. Rudy was the one that said 10 wins.
I did. I hyped him up. I mean, because I really
Can we talk about 25? Because I'm mad.
Well, before we go on to the next side, I do want to say, you know, let me go into real quick because we got a couple of minutes here before we got to go to break. Matthew Stafford, I mean, I can make a case, and I don't know, can you guys see the same fact here? He's going to be tremendous value if you're getting him in the later rounds. You're talking about, you know, Galladay, Marvin Jones, Amendola as your receiving core. Nothing, you know, sexy about it, but these are productive guys. Where it benefits him is he's got Kerryon Johnson, and he's got one DeAndre Swift. I mean, to me, Swift is one of those running backs that you're going to want to get pretty early, because this Lions offense looks really, really stout this season. Not to mention, you've got TJ Hockenson at tight end. I think this is a year Stafford could finish in the top 10 if he stays healthy. This is one of those guys where I guarantee you, you're going to see guys like Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, you know, even a Tannehill. You know, these guys are going to go before Stafford. Only these guys that are really studying, you know, fantasy football know their stuff, that Stafford's going to be top 10. Get him if you have the opportunity. Don't get him too early, but
no, and Rudy, I think he's going to be there late. I think the stigma of Stafford will have him kind of just lingering through those late rounds. I think he's a great late round pick. The running game is going to do well. This team should at least get to about 8 or 9 wins, in my opinion. I think they're a really good team to come back and just get things forward. Stafford, to me, if you're in that late rounds, I mean, listen. I think the value there is huge.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I wanted to get into that whole Matthew Stafford talk, kind of give it everybody a heads up on it. The Fantasy Countdown, Rudy Campos Jr., Coach Gio, Austin joining us, behind the glass, Chris Galler, as always. Definitely, you know, we see value here. What we're going to try to see is the last few minutes here before we go to commercial break is, you know, picks 21 to 30. This is where you try to get into, hey, I need that backup QB. We do see Jared Goff there, which, again, you know, a case could be made. This list right here has a lot of surprises on it because you've got, you know, Phillip Rivers going from L.A. to Indianapolis. I think he's going to have a really good year there. You know, obviously you do have guys like Teddy Bridgewater going to Carolina. He's going to be teaming up with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this, you can find value here. Jimmy Garoppolo being at 24 it's a value pick here. This is where you can stack your team up on receivers and running backs and go and get a Jimmy G, a Phillip Rivers, you know, a Teddy B late in the rounds. I mean, and grab your starting quarterback where he's going to be productive, but it's not going to be, you know, a whole lot of production from here. You're going to get steady production, in other words. Gio, real quick, we got a couple of minutes. Gio, give me what you're thinking on and this is here. If you got one player on there you think that's going to stand out?
Well, obviously, Jared Goff, I think he's going to have a pretty good season. I definitely think he should be this low. I completely understand, though, the running game. Ty Gurley's gone. They have a new kind of two new running backs, really. So I definitely get that. I would definitely put him a little higher. Drew Lock is kind of interesting here because I just don't know about him just yet. But he's got some really good receivers. I mean, Judy's coming in as a rookie. I think he'll play well. They got some pieces there. They got Font at tight end. So they got – or is Font coming back this season already? Because I know he got hurt.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Their tight end. Is he healthy from last year?
Yeah, Higbee.
Yeah. They have a few tight ends anyway. But nonetheless, I like this list because you can really get some guys. Jimmy G, I mean, he's always going to be a guy who might – explode 1 week and the next week come back down. Kirk Cousins, though, I think he should be a little higher, Rudy. And I don't think Kev would appreciate you having him at 26. But nonetheless, I think at this point you're trying to get a backup. I think Kirk Cousins, Goff, and Jimmy Garoppolo, they could definitely be higher as the season goes on. But I think this list and Mitchell Trubisky, that needs to end. But I'll leave it at that.
I hear you. Hey, Austin, we've got about a minute and 20 here. What are you getting off of this?
Sorry, Austin. Shit.
The answer is Phillip Rivers. You added, I mean, I hate to be a homer here, but not only did you just add Jonathan Taylor, who has been the best running back in college football the past, you know, 3 years and one of the best running backs in college football history. Slight fumbling problem, you know, that's a little bit of an issue. Change of scenery, new kind of offense. You have one of the best offensive lines in football. You know, anytime you can have Quentin Nelson blocking for you, that always helps. But you also have Michael Pittman Jr., who's going to be awesome this year, and Paris Campbell, who's my favorite person to watch in 2020.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
The case is made for Philip Rivers. What's that, Joe?
I think they might win the AFC South. I'm just throwing it out there. They really have a good team.
That's one of the divisions we're gonna cover here on 4th and 40 for today too. So definitely, you know, Philip Rivers is that value pick right there when it comes to this. Kirk Cousins, yeah. I mean, you're adding Justin Jefferson. You get rid of Stephon Diggs, but you add Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Kirk Cousins could definitely finish probably in the, I would say, top, you know what, maybe even top 15,
yeah,
possibly with Adam Thielen as well. It depends on Dalvin Cook, and that's the reason why I had Cousins low, because we don't really know with Dalvin Cook yet. Is he going to be a part of this? You can't really trust an Alexander Mattison just yet. I mean, he did fine last year, but Dalvin Cook is that definite, you know, that definite running back that you want to open up, you know, the passing game for an Adam Thielen and a Justin Jefferson. So yeah, you can find value here from 21 to 30. This is the fantasy countdown. Rudy Campos Jr., Coach Gio, Austin Hartsfield, man behind the man, Chris Galler. We'll be right back. If you'd like to be a sponsor of Sweep the League, 4th and 40, and the Fantasy Countdown, contact me, Rudy Campos Jr. My email is rcomposjr@icloud.com. Listen to Carolina Teague and Rudy Campos Jr. every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. on the Sports Dime from the Carrasco Realty Group Studios in San Antonio, Texas on 9:30 a.m. The Answer. And welcome back to the Fantasy Countdown, sponsored by nobody right now, but we are asking if you want to sponsor the show, please contact us. You can contact you can contact us at Sweep the League. And actually, Burger Boy is a little sponsor of ours, so shout out to Burger Boy. They're always going to be hanging with us for sure. But yeah, if you do want to become a sponsor of the Fantasy Countdown or the 4th and 40 show, which you will be seeing later on, definitely give us a contact here at Sweep the League. You can contact me at Sweep the League on Twitter, Rudy Campos Jr. on Facebook. Just shoot me a DM. We can get everything taken care of for you right there. It is really cheap, trust me. And it's so cheap, it's cheap just like the tight end position. It doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really have much effect on fantasy unless you drop in maybe, what, 3 or 4 guys. So we're going to get into some fantasy tight end, which every guy's dream is to have a tight end. But in football related, like I said, there's only maybe 3, 4, maybe 5 guys you can get a lot of fantasy, you know, value for here. Let's get to the top 10 rankings here for the fantasy countdown tight ends. I'm not going to say no surprise that Travis Kelce's one. George Kittle is a beast for San Francisco. This is a 1-2 battle that I'm not too sure, because after you get of Kelce and Kittle, I mean, you've got Mark Andrews, who started the season really hot. Zach Ertz is kind of that guy on the fence. I mean, he was elite fantasy for tight ends. Last year, he did have a good season, but, I mean, you would have expected a whole lot more. The real surprise on this list is who I think is going to be a tremendous value is Austin Hooper, my former Falcons tight end. Austin Hooper now in Cleveland. He's actually going to take over for David Njoku, but Njoku is not only, you know, he's not a bad pick. Even David Njoku is still a good fantasy pick. But Austin Hooper, I think, is going to have a lot of value. I expect him to probably finish within the top 6 when it comes to fantasy tight ends at the end of the season. Gio, you know, looking at this list, I mean, we can't deny it. 1 and 2, it's going to be Kelce and Kittle. After that, where do you see some of these guys going?
Well, Rudy, I think Rob Gronkowski, I think you're drinking the Kool-Aid on this, Rudy. I really do, because I think he's a little high for a guy who just came back from probably touring the country, as he always does. You're putting him pretty high on this list. I'd like to see him more on the 15s. I think overall, obviously, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, man, he had a pretty good season. Evan Ingram, yeah, if he could stay healthy with the Giants, right, he always seems to be nicked up throughout the middle of the season. Yeah. And Hunter Henry, I think this is the year he might come into that top five. And Tyler Higbee, my boy, I think he should he might have a big season. But nonetheless, Rudy, I think the list is pretty good.
He should. You know, and you mentioned Darren Waller. You know, that I kind of expect Darren Waller to finish in the top four, surprisingly. I mean, I really think he could finish in the top four. Ingram, another one, is another one that guy could finish in the top four.
I think he will, Rudy, because I think they're going to use Josh Jacobs a little bit more in the passing game this season. And if you're going to use a little bit more of a passer, that might leave a little bit more room for Darren Waller. Though Darren Waller is a huge – that's a big dude, man. And he seems to get free every so often.
Yeah, and before I get to Austin real quick, the Gronkowski thing. This is my way of thinking. I understand Gronk hasn't played, you know, he was retired for a while. I do get that, and I know he was traveling and all. But where I see is, okay, look how dominant he was in New England with Brady at his QB. And I know, again, the biggest thing, too, is the offensive line of Tampa Bay is not great. So we got to make sure Brady is still upright. But when you look at the receiving core of Goodwin and, you know, Mike Evans, you can't tell me that doesn't open up a lane for Gronk.
I think it would open up a lane a little bit more for Howard, which I hope finally shows up this season. The guy seems to be a huge target, but damn, Jameis would always just throw down the field to but I completely understand, and he could definitely be in the top 10. I just think you're drinking the Kool-Aid, Rudy.
No, I battled it because before I started doing the rankings, I had Gronk at, I believe, 13, 14. So then I started thinking about it. Okay, you've got that receiving core. I mean, it should open up the lanes. And even you throwing Howard out there, that's another guy. If Howard, you know, starts to get going, the ball's got to go somewhere. I don't think you've got any defenses in the league that are going to be able to cover all four guys. So that's the reason behind Gronkowski being number eight. Austin, looking at this list, you know.
One more thing to add, Rudy. If anyone's going to get off this top list, I think Zach Ertz could have a huge, pretty
Dallas Goedert. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Austin, what do you got there? Last couple guys that we talked about, it's all about kind of sharing reps, whether it's Gronk and OJ Howard or it's, you know, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. We talked about Darren Waller, though. I mean, I think that this could be a big opportunity for him, you know, being in Vegas and having teams key in on a team that you know what they're going to do coming in. I think Derek Carr is going to be better this year, and I think that's going to have a huge impact on his performance. So I wouldn't be surprised if Darren Waller, you know, like I have him somewhere around, you know, it's him and Ertz right now kind of flip-flopping for me at the 4-5 spot. But, I mean, if you would ask me right now who I would take, I think I'm taking Waller over Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Zach Ertz is that one guy on this list. I kind of have to put him there because
he's like been Witten for a while.
Yeah, and I think towards the end of the fantasy football season, or the fantasy football season in general, I don't think he finishes in the top 10. I mean, I'm making a bold prediction there, but I want to say Dallas Goedert is probably going to have the better season between him and Ertz. I think Ertz is here because he's athletic and because he's had some dominant seasons. I would say just really, really be alert when you're drafting the tight ends, because if Zach Ertz is there late, there's a reason why. I mean, you may not want to touch him. And if you can get him really late, then I'd say go ahead and draft him really late. Let's go to the fantasy tight end rankings, 11 through 20 here. See a few familiar names. You know, we see Hayden Hurst, the new tight end for Atlanta. You know, coming from Baltimore, obviously, and Mark Andrews is dominating there in Baltimore. Matt Ryan loves to use his tight end. Obviously, go ask Austin Hooper. One guy that I think is low on this list that I would actually rank a lot higher, probably towards the end of the season, is Jonnu Smith from Tennessee.
I knew it. I was just about say something to that guy.
Jonnu Smith, I think, is going to probably jump six, maybe seven spots by the end of the season. He's going to be that guy for Ryan Tannehill. You know, great target for Tannehill. And then we talk about 17. You're talking about Dallas Goedert. I mean, you got the whole Philadelphia connection. Which one's going to dominate the reps? Goedert could be that guy. The one person I do like on this list, I call him Mr. Consistent because I've drafted him a lot and I've loved how he's helped my team out is Jack Doyle from Indianapolis, which we'll get Austin's comments about him here in a second. But, you know, one guy that I see dropping on this list is for some reason, I just don't understand why, and I have a feeling Jared Cook is probably going to be the one dropping off this list in New Orleans.
Jared Cook.
Yeah, I mean, he's a staple in the tight end rankings, so I have him dropping. Mike Gesicki, I think, is one guy that's going to probably be ranked right around that 15, 16 spot throughout the whole season. He'll get you some value, especially if we see Tua take over in Miami. You know, everybody knows when you're a rookie QB, you like to rely on your tight end. Eric Ebron at number 20, I think he's a little bit higher than that just because Pittsburgh Steelers and the tight end position. I mean, you go back to what guys like Heath Miller and stuff. Ben Roethlisberger loves to use the tight end position when it comes to his offense. So this list can actually change a whole lot come your draft day. But this is what we have right now. Austin, I mentioned Jack Doyle. Give us Jack Doyle. Is he high on this ranking? Should he be a little bit higher, a little bit lower? What do you think?
Here's the thing. He benefited from a lot of years of being Andrew Luck's security blanket. It was one of those things to where, you know, it was Winton and Romo with the check down. And, you know, once we saw what it was like without it, it was a little bit different. So I'm a little bit lower on Jack. I think that Jack is reliable. I think that he'll get you what you want every single week. But I don't think he's an elite guy. I don't think he's a tier two guy by any standard. I think you have him right where I would or a little bit higher. But without Ebron this year and having Trey Burton as the other tight end should probably help him out a little bit.
Yeah, it should lift him because, you know, our whole concern was with Eric Ebron being in Indianapolis.
And the concussions.
Yeah, I mean, Doyle, this could be that year for Doyle to actually put him in. I mean, is it crazy to think that he might end up a top 10 fantasy tight end by the end of the year?
No, I'm pretty sure he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Yeah, like, I mean, so, and then you've got a guy like Phillip Rivers coming in who Hunter Henry, I mean, was one of his favorite targets in L.A., so he loves to use that tight end.
Antonio Gates forever.
Antonio Gates is another one before Hunter Henry. So, you know, yeah, Jack Doyle is definitely a guy you want to get. I think you'll be able to get him pretty late in the draft. I don't see him flying off very many draft boards. Gio, we're going through 11 through 20. You pretty much agreed with me when I mentioned Jonnu Smith. I mean, Jonnu Smith he's at 19, but I mean, to finish in the top 10, it's very possible because Tannehill and him have that connection.
Rudy, you know, he's a big target. I really like how he came to his own last season. He, to me, is a little bit of a sexy pick. You know, he could definitely digress a little bit. But Jonnu Smith, I just love that pick. And an interesting pick here, Mike Gesicki from Miami, he played very well down the stretch, had some big games for the Dolphins. And like you said, if Tua comes into his own, a rookie's going to love a tight end. Jared Cook, Rudy, I think you hit the nail on the coffin here. That guy, and he's been dropping off because he always has these games where he just randomly will explode for like two or three touchdowns. Yeah. So I could definitely see that. Another name to watch out for, Ian Thomas, the tight end from the Carolina Panthers. I've had him a few times over the past 2 years when Greg Olsen goes down, and Thomas provides a very good blanket for Teddy Bridgewater. So I could definitely see up there. And I think another name also, Greg Olsen, I understand he's definitely old in the tooth, but if you're looking for some fantasy value way down the line there, Greg Olsen from Seattle, I think it could provide some value from week to week. But I think overall, Rudy, I think the list is good. And Austin Hooper, I mean, he was Mr. Reliable last year for me, Rudy, in a couple of leagues. To me, he's probably the third, fourth best tight end last season. So Austin Hooper, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Cleveland. So I'm definitely going to see a drop off from him, but he could be a big red zone guy.
Yeah. Like I said, going back into this list right here, you know, yeah, you're right. The Jared Cook thing, you know, I see him falling. You know, Jared Cook is your daily fantasy tight end type guy. Yeah. I mean, he's going to explode every now and then. If you can get him really cheap in daily fantasy, you definitely want to get Jared Cook if he's cheap. Another guy in here, you know, we're looking at Drew Lock in Denver. I mean, Noah Fant can really, really be, you know, successful there in Denver. I mean, not only that, but they added, you know, Jerry Jeudy in the draft as well. So that could open up more.
And listen, Courtland Sutton, from what I've been hearing from Cam Sutton, Rudy, he is
SMU.
I've heard he's just been a beast in camp, and I definitely see him with Judy there as a very good route runner. It's just, I think Denver, I think they're going to surprise some people on offense. And they also have a running back there as well, right? I mean, he's pretty good too, so.
Yeah, he just, you know, he needs
to. We didn't hold out.
Yeah.
But he needs to actually do something, which we'll get into running back talk next week for sure. But, yeah, the tight end position is definitely, you know, it's one of value. I always say it's not a value for me when I draft. But again, if I'm going to get one of the top tight ends this year, especially, I think you're going to see an uptick in the tight end position. There's just too much athleticism in this tight end position, especially for the rankings this year. I mean, like we said, Austin Hooper, the obvious ones are Travis Kelce, George Kittle. You know, the biggest thing that we were trying to tell you here at the Fantasy Countdown, Zach Ertz is that question mark. If you can get him really late in any draft, get him really late, that there's a lot better options out there. Rudy Campos Jr., Coach Gio, Austin Hartsfield, Chris Galler making everything go behind the glass. This is the Fantasy Countdown. We will be right back.
Hey, are you looking for that local flavor, that local burger flavor? Look no further than Burger Boy. Oh, the wonders that is Burger Boy. Are you a working man? Of course you're a working man. Do you like working overtime? Not all of us do, but when it comes to Burger Boy, they have both the working man special and the overtime special. For you working men out there, that's a double Burger Boy, large fries, large drink. And for those of you working overtime, add that extra meat. We're talking triple Burger Boy, large fries, large drink. Yes. Yes, Burger Boy, the wonder that is San Antonio.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Countdown. If you want to be a sponsor of the Fantasy Countdown, contact me on Twitter at Sweep the League, or just contact me on Facebook, Rudy Campos Jr. I am joined alongside Coach Gio, as always, and we have Austin Hartsfield, who we're crossing our fingers, lighting candles, crossing T's, dotting I's. He'll be a weekly person here, but the man is so busy traveling all around the world for baseball.
Just yeah, all across.
He's going to be in Puerto Rico, guys, next week.
Puerto Rico. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's true. He's... Of course, it's, you know, hey, it's Austin, man. Austin, apparently.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellent.
I thought he was going to play the Kawhi laugh, and I was kind of excited.
Oh, my God. Well, we do.
Hey, guys, just make a quick news
for you guys. Because it hurts me right now.
Dallas Goedert has a hairline fracture in his thumb, so just throwing it out there, Rudy.
So breaking news right now, Dallas Goedert for the Philadelphia Eagles has a hairline fracture in his thumb that might actually keep Zach Ertz exactly where he needs to be. I don't think he's still going to be top four, but that might keep him in the top 10 at least through the season if Goedert can't go. So we talked about fantasy quarterback rankings. We talked about fantasy tight end rankings. This week, the last thing we're going to get into is fantasy defensive rankings. So, defense is up 1 through 10. I'm seeing that, you know, the San Francisco Giants defense – I mean, Giants, I'm sorry, San Francisco
49ers. Rudy, is that baseball, like, Rudy?
Well, we've got the king of MLB with us right now.
I don't know if you've seen you
the
TV, but it's not great.
See that Joey Bart making his debut this week coming up for all you Giants fans.
Hey, I'm got something to be excited about.
San Francisco 49ers at number one. Guys, you know, I fought back and forth with this. I'm really big sucker for the Steelers defense right now.
Wait a minute.
I know Gio has problems, but
TJ, it's like Lions and Tigers and Bears.
Where's my team at?
You just keep going.
Your team's on the next list. I made sure they were on that next list.
I think your team
just hasn't been able to crack 11. Your team hasn't been able to crack the first line all season so far.
Listen, that defense, that secondary is going to be really good this year. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, San Francisco and Pittsburgh, I fought back and forth. I really love the Steelers defense. I mean, going into the season, you know, Minka and TJ Watt, Bud Dupree. I mean, you even got Devin Bush there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff
going. Excited
about. Yeah, so, I mean, I would probably go with the Steelers just a little bit over the edge on the Niners. But then you got Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Buffalo Bills are still stout on defense as well. The Ravens, you know, adding what Calais Campbell through a trade. I mean, that improves them a whole lot. Of course, you've got the Bears. You know, that defense is still going to be there as always. One defense that I think is actually ranked a little lower than usual, but I think it's probably because of Ingram. We want to see if Ingram's actually going to stick there as the Chargers. I mean, if Melvin Ingram actually stays with them because he's been having a little bit of trouble with them front office-wise, we don't know if he's going to be there. If he's not, him and Joey Bosa, Darren Petrie, I mean, these guys, that defense can be a lot higher than 10. Let's go, Gio. You know, when it comes to defensive rankings, what do you think of the rankings? Do you see any team that could be higher or maybe lower?
Well, Rudy, I think the Rams should crack the top 10, but we'll talk about that obviously on your next list that was put together. I like the list. You know, the defense is one thing. I tend to stream defenses from week to week, so I never really stay with the defense. Normally the same team, unless I get bold and I pick, you know, 49ers throughout the season. But I kind of like this Liz Rudy. I mean, the Chicago Bears are an interesting pick. I thought last year they digressed a little bit with Vic Fangio leaving to Denver, but I think they'll be quite the same as they were a few years ago. The Saints defense, you know, Cameron Jordan's still there. I really like this list. The Colts defense, though, watch out for them because I think
it's
they
a sneaky pick.
It's a sneaky pick.
First round pick, interesting. Well spent.
You know, I mean, listen, those draft picks the past few years, they've really hit. But overall, I can't really say much. I mean, Chargers got Joey Bosa here. They got a pretty good secondary, won't prove. I mean, yeah.
The Colts is a suspect. I think the Saints is probably the one where I'm like, it's probably not going to finish in the top 10 out of all these defenses. But Austin, what are you seeing on the defense rankings here? Because like you said, you were in agreement with me with the Steelers. I'm actually looking at the list like, man, I would probably take the Steelers over the Niners. It just kind of depends on where we're going to draft defenses this year. Yeah. You always have that one guy that takes a defense way too early, and then everybody opens up the floodgates. So,
well, I'm kind of wrestling with a couple of things. I'm wrestling with the fact that I'm not really sure who the best defense is in the AFC East, you know, with one of those things. So I don't know if I like Buffalo or if I like New England better. I'm not really struggling with 2 and 3 being Pittsburgh, Baltimore, in my sense, right? But I really like that Niners defense. I think that they're the best in football. I think it's close, obviously, but I just like the way they put it together. They've proven that they can do it. And honestly, if a godsend at quarterback wasn't on the other side, they'd be Super Bowl champions.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do see that. I do say, well, let's go
Xavier to Xavier Rhodes for the Colts, by the way. Next
yeah.
Xavier Rhodes is anything resembling nothing, resembling not a trash bag. This defense could be super good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. Let's go to 11 through 20 on the fantasy countdown, the defensive rankings. Rudy Campos Jr., Austin Hartsfield, Coach Gio, Chris Galler behind the glass. We've got – this is where we see the Patriots. We were talking about this.
Why before. The drop-off?
Yeah, we were talking about this before the show. I mean, you've got guys for the Patriots that are not playing this season, obviously, for COVID reasons. And that's something we didn't get into with COVID. We understand COVID, you know, is going on. We understand it could derail a season, stuff like that. Stuff could happen. We're basically treating this as if, hey, the NFL is going to go on. They've got it under control. They're going to play their season, you know, yada, yada. There's really, you know, when it comes to drafting and the whole COVID pandemic thing, you really cannot prepare too much for it. I mean, you just go out, you just draft the best team that you can draft, and that's it. But again, the Patriots have been, you know, gutted when it comes to people dropping out for COVID-19, sitting out this season. Normally they're a top 10 play, but we've got them out of the top 10 here just because of the fact that, like you said, you have guys like Patrick Chung that aren't going to play this season. So one team I do see that can move up here a whole lot is the LA Rams. I do see them jumping up a few spots here. One other team that I think is pretty low but has the opportunity to actually make a name for herself, and it kind of sucks because they lost a guy this week and Gerald McCoy, are the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys, I see them there at 15. Can they get into the top 10? It's a very good possibility. They do have a defense that can compete now. That was always their Achilles heel. The cornerback situation was always their Achilles heel, too. I think they've improved, but the whole Gerald McCoy thing, it just pretty much sucks for them. I feel really bad for the Cowboy fans because they did have a really good defense coming in. Doesn't mean they can't finish in the top 10, but I think you'll see them and the LA Rams jump. I think the Patriots will come down. Kansas City is another one. I think they'll be okay at 12. I can see them maybe going down to 13. Austin, from 11 through 20, what surprises do you see here? Again, do you see teams going up? Do you see teams going down?
I think the Houston Texans are high. And that's not coming from just like a central bias sample. I just think that the Houston, what did they do?
They didn't really do nothing on the defense side.
In a league, in a division where everybody is getting better, what did you do this offseason to make yourself better besides J.J. Watt's back aging another year? You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't see any improvement. Looking at the rest of the list, I mean, everything looks pretty good to me. I mean, I think you have the Chiefs a little bit low, but without Breland for the first couple of weeks, it'll be a little different. So that kind of affect some games. But Houston starts out with what is it? Kansas City, the Ravens, and then they play the Steelers and somebody else in the first 4 weeks or something. So they're gonna have a gauntlet coming out. So I think that would kind of mess with them a little bit.
Yeah, and Gio, we got a few minutes here before we go for the first Fantasy Countdown show. 11 through 20, I know you talked about your Rams here. I do see they can be ranked a lot higher. The Patriots is that pick where we really don't know. I think they're going to be less than, you know, later on down the rounds. You know, they're not going to finish 11 here. I think they finish in the top 20, but I think the bottom half of the 20. What do you, I mean, talk about your Rams real quick. Like I said, you got a couple of minutes here. Give me
I think the Rams. You know, they're coming in with that secondary. Jalen Ramsey has a full offseason. Aaron Donald's coming back. They signed Leonard Floyd from the Bears. This defense got a little bit younger. You know, the past few years, a bunch of old guys they kept signing. This year, they have some young guys coming in. And if you guys from camp, they got some guys that are just – I just really think this secondary is going to be crucial for the team. But nonetheless, Rudy, as you said, the Patriots, I really think with some of those guys not showing up and – with that offense being what it might be, I got a feeling there might be a defense that just is this lifeless this year throughout certain points of the season. So I could definitely see them lower. The Cowboys, you know, with Jerome McCoy, he's out. I think they have enough depth up front to be okay. I think Dallas is going to be interesting. As you know, they have the new defensive coordinator who's a little bit of a 3-4 guy. So going to be interesting what kind of Dallas does schematically wise. And as you said, the Texans, I think that defense is going to get torched this year. Yeah. And as we saw in that playoff game with Romeo Crennel, that
I watch it every week.
Yeah. That defense, I think, is going to get lit up for the most part. But I think overall, Seattle's always a decent defense. The Titans are, I think, going to play very well. So I think for the most part, everything seems pretty good. But watch out for you have Tampa on here. Tampa's an interesting defense. They actually played
good defense.
They actually played very well, but unfortunately there's a guy called Jameis Winston who threw 30 picks and 30 touchdowns who put that defense in horrendous positions. That run defense was actually one of the best in the league. So I think Tampa is going to be just because of Jameis not being there. Which is weird because he's an offensive player, but I think they're going to be pretty good.
I think we're underrating Seattle here a little bit.
I think so, too. I'm, you know, looking at it, too. I think
the best safety in football, essentially.
Well, can I add one more note on that? I don't know how, you know, Greg Williams is with the Jets, and Greg loves to really move around those safeties. I'm not quite sure. As someone who watches the Seahawks twice a year against the Rams, they don't do that much. I'm assuming they're going to because you have an awesome talent at safety. They need to move him around and just get him active because I don't know if he's necessarily just a statue at safety just kind of just lingering around his area. You got to put him in different spots. I assume they'll do that. Just watch out for Adams because not quite sure. Seattle's secondary normally just is pretty vanilla for the most part.
Yeah, you know, before we go here for the first show of the Fantasy Countdown, you know, I look at Tennessee. I mean, they – and this is a big thing. That defense, I think, jumps probably 4 to 5 spots if they can get everything they can out of Vic Beasley Jr. I mean, the Falcons couldn't get anything out of him.
Well, he was always hurt, Rudy.
Well, yeah, and but if Vic Beasley can – because he already came into camp, and he already screwed up. I mean, he's already had some unexcused absences there in Tennessee, so they're kind of putting up with some of his antics. But if you go with the Harold Landry, Rashawn Evans, you know, Kenny Vaccaro, Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, even a Kevin Byard, that whole secondary is – it's really, really good. I think if Adoree Jackson can take that next step – their secondary can be great. Not only that, they added a Jonathan Joseph as well on that defense, which for the Texans. And I know Austin's laughing, but I know
that
he
guy
is
gets lit up, bro.
He's
that
get
guy
that.
Guy
no, he is up. Because he's a Texans.
T.Y. Hilton's toy
hater. Yeah, but what I like about Jonathan Joseph is that you give Adoree that veteran guy to just hang out with. Is what it is. And that's kind of the value that I see when they say they added a Jonathan. Not necessarily Jonathan Joseph was going to be an all-pro bowl defender or anything. I'm talking more about a locker room guy. But if they can get Vic Beasley on the right path and get everything that Atlanta couldn't get out of Vic Beasley, Tennessee has the potential to finish in the top 12 when it comes to defenses. They've already got a decent offense. They got a solid pound and ground offense. The defense is very much the same way. You know, you've got, you know, the coach staff is built for this kind of defense as well. So look for Tennessee, you know, to actually, I think, finish in the top 12. So, yeah, I mean, the defensive-wise, I mean, like we said, I think the Patriots do fall with what they have. The Rams do rise. Both guys, I mean, I don't disagree. Seattle could be easily a top 10 defense by the end of the season. Again, some of these teams you're going to be able to get later on in the rankings. When a draft goes on, you tend to see people say, oh, let me draft the defense right now. And it's like, oh, great.
Rudy,
the whole floodgate opens.
Quick point. Do you think any of these teams add Clowney?
That's what I was just about to ask.
You know, that's where
space right now.
Okay, so, you know, before we go, let's mention the Clowney thing. I think does the Gerald McCoy injury make it more valuable for the Cowboys to add a Jadeveon Clowney on that line?
They don't have the space for him.
That was my thoughts too. You know,
cuz like if we're talking about like what figure do we think he would stop at? 20?
Well, he's probably going to do like a one-year deal, right? I mean, at Disney deal.
What are we doing, one year for 20?
I'll say 17 or maybe 15.
Okay, so then if we go from there, it's Bears barely, Bengals at 18, Texans 21, Titans 22, Giants, Colts, Lions, Eagles, Dolphins, all around 22, 24, and then it goes top down, Browns 40, Patriots 34, Washington 31, Jets 30, Bills 30, Broncos 29, and then back to the Dolphins. I want to sign him bad.
Yeah, I mean, he could
pass rush.
I mean, he's a big body, and he's I don't understand. He's still sitting at home.
Buckner, yeah. Clowney, Leonard.
Oof. Yeah, he'll be. I mean, he's probably going to end up getting signed anywhere. So, no.
Yeah.
We're thinking, you know, probably by the time the season starts, he'll be on a roster somewhere, which should bolster some of these rosters and make them a little bit better. Again, if you're drafting the defense, you've got some defenses out there. If somebody goes out there and drafts a defense early, don't worry. You can get a defense later on with no problems whatsoever. But to close it on out, this is the Fantasy Countdown. Rudy Campos Jr., Coach Gio, Austin Hartsfield. Definitely, you want to go and follow us on Twitter. Mine is at Sweep the League on Twitter. Gio, what's yours again? Gio muted himself there. So let me.
Oh wait, sorry. Yeah, it's Coach Gio with two O's. I would have just one O, but some dodo head has it that hasn't been on Twitter in 2 years. But
Austin, go follow Austin. Austin, what's your Twitter handle again?
At Hartsfield PC.
Hartsfield PC. And the man behind the glass, Chris Galler, our EP here that makes everything going. You can go follow him at Twitter. It's at official Mr. 300, all one word, no spaces, no underscores, no nothing. At official Mr. 300 on Twitter. Again, Rudy Campos, CEO, Austin Hartsfield. This is the first episode of the Fantasy Countdown where we counted down the top fantasy quarterbacks going into the draft for everybody's NFL fantasy draft, as well as the top tight ends, top defenses. We will be with you each and every week, giving you all of our fantasy insight. Next week, we'll bring you our top running backs and top wide receivers. After that, it's pretty much fair game. You know, we're going to start giving y'all who you should play week one, stardom, sit-em, stuff like that. Daily fantasy as well. Also, we will be having a fantasy football league, so we'll give you more details as it comes out. It will be a fantasy countdown league. There will be a trophy that will be given away. Actually, we'll have your... If you have to win, we'll definitely put your name on the trophy and go from there. You also have a couple other prizes. Thank you to Burger Boy as one of our unofficial sponsors of the show here at the Fantasy Countdown. Here, we will see y'all next week.